Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. It is Menachas Daf Lamed Aleph. Perhaps we'll pair together due to their shortness and similarity of subject material. We'll pair together the next two Daf, Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis. So we begin Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Back to items that were presented by Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Amar, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, he relates a story. Pamachas, it so happens that once, Nisarevli, Tevel Bechulin, I had some Tevel, produce from which Truma and Maser had not been removed, and it got mixed into a huge bin of Chulin, of properly tithed kosher produce. So, min ha-toira, midairaisa, really, there is bittel barayv, when a small, you know, portion mixes with a large portion, it becomes nullified, so you can eat the entire mix. But midrabanan, we say tevel is not going to be bottle. Even a drop of tevel in a huge bin is not bottle. One of the reasons given is because tevel has chashivas. Look, even a drop of it can become truma on the rest, so even a drop of tevel on the flip side, on the negative side, renders the entire mix usher, but that's only with the Rabbanon. So with the Rabbanon, you have to address the Tevel that's within this mix and somehow separate your Truma from that, but you can't find him. And you can't just take a sampling of the whole mix because you might encounter the permissible part, the non-Tevel part, and that you can't use as truma on the tevel part. You can't take from potter on chayv. So what do? You have to find some other material which has similar status to the material that's mixed in here, which, as we explained, is really only chayv and truma midrabbanan. So you have to find similar material which is similarly only chayv and truma midrabbanan. Use that to address, take from that on this, let's say, this pound of tevel that got mixed into this huge bin. So you have to take other material and take up extra truma and address this pound to accommodate this pound of tevel that got mixed in. Okay? So you have to find other material which is only chayav midrabbanan, which has similar status to this tevel that got mixed into the bin, which is only chayav midrabbanan. Okay? So what do? So this happened to me once in Sarav the Terror Bechulin. Ubansi v'shalti is Rabbi Tarfon. I came to ask Rabbi Tarfon what to do. Normally he tells me like this. In order to find produce which is only chayv midrabanan, leich kach l'chol min hashuk. Go out to the marketplace and buy produce from an am ha'aretz, unlearned fellow, which min ha'toira is really okay, but midrabanan, we're concerned that perhaps the am ha'aretz had not yet addressed the truma and maser, so it's chayv midrabanan. Oh, there you go, bingo. So this corresponds to the status of my mix, vaser olav, and use that material to take maser on the mix. Kasavar, because he holds doiraisa bruba bottle. Really, min ha'toira, the pound of tevel that got mixed into the huge bin is bottle, and it's only chayv v'truma midrabanan. And likewise, the produce that I buy from the am ha'aretz has similar status because v'roiv am ha'aretz ma'asrim hay. Most likely, right? Most Ami Arutz take off Maser. In which case, Minat Torah, it's presumed to be okay. It's only Midrabbanan that we have to take off Maser from that material. So it has the same status. Vavli Ketorah Minat Potter, La Potter, so he's taking Maser from Amaret's material, which is Potter, technically Minat Torah, it's only Chayim Midrabbanan. Using that to accommodate, to address the Truma on the mix, which is, again, Potter Minat Torah, Chayim Midrabbanan. Fine, that's a solution. Now, why couldn't he come up with a different solution? V'leimolei, he should have told him, leich kach menoiv kichav, buy from the guy. So the produce grown by a guy is also a potter min ha'toira, and only chayv midrabanan. So use that as your kasava, because he holds ein kinyan loiv kichav meretz Yisrael. A guy does not have the ability to extract the produce that he grows from truma, lafkia miyad maser. He doesn't have that kinyan, he doesn't have that ownership, that ability to do so. In which case, produce by a goy is chayiv min ha'toira. So it's a mismatch, because my mix is only chayiv midrabanan. Menachiv al Ptur, and if he'll use that, it's going to be something which is Chayv min HaTorah, something which is Potter min HaTorah, it doesn't work. Okay, so we use the Amaretz as produce, which is Potter min HaTorah, and use that as Truma on your mix, which is also Potter min HaTorah. Ikadamri, there was actually another version that he told them to use the non-Jewish produce. Amalei lech kach min HaGichav, because he held Yesh Kinyan. According to this version, he held that the guy does have the ability, through his ownership, through his even Eretz Yisrael, he has the ability, he had master to uproot, so to speak, the master obligations, in which case what you buy from him is really Pato min HaTorah, Vavalei min HaPtur al HaPtur, so using that on the mix, which is Pater and Pater. What about the Amaretz solution? It didn't work according to this version. Why couldn't he simply tell him, go buy from the Amaretz? Because according to this version he held, Ein Reiv Amaretz Ma'asrin. We can't just assume that most likely Amaretz was Ma'aser. It doesn't work like that. It's not a majority that that it is so. So we can assume that it's, Rashi says, you know, maybe it's 50-50. So we have to be concerned and actually treat it like Chayiv min HaTorah. So if it's Chayiv min HaTorah, you can use that to address something which is Pater min HaTorah. Okay, so in any case, what happened? There was a story that Reb Shimon Shazuri had some mix between Tevel and Chulam, which is Pater min HaTorah now. It's only Chayiv d'Rabbanan. And Ritafen advised him to go find similar material, which is Pater min HaTorah. According to one version, it was Amaretz material. According to the other version, it was Goyishim material. Sholach Lei Rav Yehim Rav Aslamya. He sent a question to Rav Papa. You know, this statement of yesterday, the Amar Ravin Bar Chinan Amar Ulay quoted Amar Chanina. That what? Halach Reb Shimon Shazuri. Then in one instance we pass him Reb Shimon Shazuri, and all over as well. Not only that, Al Kol Mokim, all over Shoshana, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Whenever we find Reb Shimon Shazuri discussing Halach, Halach Kamaisa, we pass him like him. Does it apply to this case as well? After Nesarav Le Tevel Bechulam, Amar Li says, yeah, and of course. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi responded, Amar Li Marzutra. Marzutra had a question. He quoted, Kashi Baruch Hanina Mesura. Chanina Mesura had a question on this. What's the deliberation whether we pass him like Shimon Shazuri in this case as well? Of course, all over Pshita, of course, me, Ka'amar, the Mishnah Senu, did the Rabbi Chanina say that we pass him like Shimon Shazuri only in cases that he discusses things in a Mishnah and not in a Braisa? What's the question? Kamakam Shishana Ka'amar. He said anywhere, wherever you find a halacha taught by Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that's how that's the halacha that we adopt. Of course, in this case as well. Okay, back to halachas of a sefer Torah. Amrav ziri amar chanan amrav kera. Suppose there's a tear in the parchment running through the text. Okay, let's say it's between the letters, but it's running through the text. At what point can you still repair it? At what point do we say it's beyond repair? It looks unsightly. It's not proper. It's not zekeli van veyu. Amrav Zira Marv Khanan Marav Kera a tear, Hababish Neshitin, which only crosses two lines of text, Yitfar, that's small enough to repair. Bishalash, if it cuts into three lines, that's too far gone. Al Yitfar, you can't tie that up, you can't sew it up. Amale Rabbar Zuti the Rabashi, Achi Amarab Yirim Difti, Mishmay called it Rabba, the Rabba, Hadam Rinan. When we say Bishalash Al Yitfar, if it's through three lines of text, you can't repair it. Loy Amar Elaba Tikta, that's only by an old Sefer Torah. Since the parchment is already sort of tinted, it looks old. So the tear, which has this, exposes the fresh, light-colored parchment in the tear, will make it look, unsightly. But if it's a brand new Sefer Torah, the parchment is also nice and white and shiny. Last time, there's no concern, there won't be any unsightliness. And we speak about old and new, it isn't determined by age. Old doesn't mean old. When we say new, it doesn't mean literally new. It means like this. Elam, it all depends if it was coated with this gallnut powder, which tints the surface of the parchment. In that case, a tear, a substantial repair on a tear, would make it look unsightly. Hadle afitzan. When we speak about new, it means just a Sefer Torah. It was not coated, was not tinted with this, coloring, with this, gray material. Hada fitzan. We speak about old, it means old, or, new one, which was covered with this tinting. So whether it means old, actually old, in which case the parchment, you know, sort of darkens and with time, or even a new one if it was tinted, would pose the same concern. Now, when we allow repair, it's specifically with gidden, with sinews, properly, you know, professionally repaired. Of a garden law, you can't use just, you know, scrap threads that don't look nice. You have to repair it properly. Some of our Hashem learning, you can use proper threads, but it has to be properly done. Boy Rav Yehuda bar Abba. We give it a limit, right? It goes through two lines, okay, three lines, no good. But daf ladaf, what if the tear was not on the text itself, was between the columns, and it goes lower than three, it's you know, more than two lines worth, but it's not actually running through the letters. Or ben shita l'shita, between the lines, so in the margins. My, what if it's a substantial tear, but not actually running through the words? Is that okay? Teiku, we leave it unresolved. Amar zirib, amar chanan, amar av. Back to mezuzah. Mezuzah shekosra shtayim shtayim. If you wrote his mezuzah in columns that only contain two words at a time, basically very narrow columns, that's okay, kshero. You don't have a minimum of three words like I say for Torah. Here, it's, even if it's narrow columns, it's okay. Iboilu, now comes the question. What if he formatted his lines like the shtayim? The top line had, you know, two words, or shalish, next line three words, va'achas, and the next line only one word. So it's 2-3-1. Ma was the halacha here. Amar Nachman, he's like, sure, Kalshken, of course. Shasuk is Shira. Now it looks like the Shira in the Sefer Torah, like Az Yashir, which is written in a similar fashion. Like the half brick over the full brick over the half brick, right? So that's okay. Maisi, here comes a Kasher. You can't just write anything like a Shira, like a song. So in a Sefer Torah, we have parts that are written like a Shira, parts that are written straight about, right? So let's say he crosses over, also Kashira, he takes regular text and formats it like a Shira, or the opposite, Shira Kamoito, he takes Shira words and he formats it straight away like a regular text. That's Psula, because each section is meant to be written according to its guidelines. So how can we allow a mezuzah to be written like a Shira? Kitanya Hiba Sefer Torah. When we say crossing over is not allowed, that's by Sefer Torah, which has both types. And each one is meant to be formatted specifically, you know, in that style. But by mezuzah, we don't really have shira. So it's not like you have different types that you can't cross over. So it's all really only one type, one style. If it's done like a shira, it's okay. It's more, now we learned likewise. Omar bar bar chan rabbi yechanan. Some say, Omar acha bar bar chan rabbi yechanan. Mezuzah she'asa shtayim v'shal shvachas k'shira. If the mezuzah was formatted this way, 3-2-1, it's okay. Well, but provided he doesn't design it in a peculiar way. He said, okay, kubo, he can't make it like a tent, like a teepee. So he'll have one word, then over two words, then next line three words, look like a tent. That's not acceptable. Uvashle said, okay, zonav, all the opposite. He'll go 3-2-1, it looks like a tail. Amar chizda. So the last line of the mezuzah, right, is al ha'oretz. Al ha'oretz b'shita achroina. The end of Vayim Shemaya, we have, Hashem will lengthen your days, kimei ha'shamayim, like the gap between heaven and earth. That's how long, that's how big. So the last words, last final, you know, line is ala aretz, only those words. Some say, it's meant to be at the end. So left a line, the left, you know, side of that last line, and you leave the right part empty. So in effect, the words ala aretz will be right beneath kimei hashamayim, next line ala aretz. Some say no, it's right aligned. So al aretz is meant to be on the right of that final line. So now kimei hashamayim is all the way on the left of the previous line, and over to the next line, al aretz. And here comes the explanation. Why would you say either way? Mandamar b'seif shita, the one that says it's meant to be at the end of the line, left aligned, right beneath kimei hashamayim. That corresponds to the pasuk in Tehillim, kigvoy hashamayim al aretz. Speaks about the great distance between shamayim and aretz, the fact that shamayim is over the aretz, and likewise over here, Torah is promising longevity, kimei hashamayim al aretz, and this expresses it in the utmost, right? The way the shamayim is over the aretz, so which situated above it at a great distance. Whereas the shita says, the opinion that holds that you meant to put it on the right side, because that's the farthest you can get from the words kimei hashamayim. So the greater the gap, the more it highlights a distance and the longevity, the lesson of the pasuk, Yehi de merchak shemayim aretz, just as there's a distance between shemayim and aretz, likewise Torah is promising longevity, arichus yamin. Okay, perhaps let's just continue on to the next daf, which is pretty much a similar topic. Omar Rav Chelboy, Chazina le Rav Huna, the Karach la Me'echad klap Ishma. So Rav Huna had his mezuzah is made in the following fashion. So firstly, they would roll it up from the end to the beginning. So you write, you know, Shema Yisrael, Echad, right? And you start rolling from Echad back to Shema. So when you sort of open it up, it's, you know, it's in sequence. You see Shema Yisrael, right? That's how it unfurls. So that's number one. And also regarding the configuration, the formatting of the two parshias in the mezuzah, you have Vahavta and then Vayim Shemaya, which actually in the Torah are separate. They're different parshias. One is in Vayeschan and one is in Eikah, but here they come together as one package. So we all know that there are different types of arrangements in the Torah regarding parshias, portions that are next to each other. Sometimes they're sort of clinging to each other. It's called stumais. So the gap between the parshias is meant to be at least 9 letters of gap, but they're sort of landlocked. So one variation would be of stumos would be that the previous parsha ends sort of starts the line and ends right there, and then you have that little gap of 9 letters worth of parchment. Then immediately begin the next parsha on the same line. So that gap is sort of landlocked. That's called stumos. The parsha is sort of glued together. Then you have something called pesuchos. So picture, let's say, one parsha ending, you know, middle of the line, and you have that gap to the end of the line. And the next, then you start the next parsha in the next line. So that gap sort of opens to the air, to the margin, and the parshas aren't really clung together. That's called psuchai. So the question here is regarding Shema Vayim Shemaya. So here in the mezuzah, they're meant to be together as one package. You would think it's stumos. No, but in the Torah, the way they come in the original, right, in the original format, they're far away from each other. So perhaps when you import them to the mezuzah, they should be separated as psuchas. No, according to Rav Huna, Va'oisa Parshis says stumois, he would make the parshis in the mezuzah stumois clinging together. Maybe here comes a kash on this. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar. He relates to Rav Meir, as we know, who was a expert scribe. Rav Meir, first of all, in terms of the type of parchment, okay, let's just get into that for a second. So the hide of the animal, it's a very thick piece of, you know, skin. It's called gvil. Now that gvil is split into two, sliced into two. The top part is called klaf, on which you're meant to write a tefillin. On one side of that klaf, on the bottom facing, the part that's facing the animal itself, the smooth part. Then duch sustus is the bottom layer. It's a Greek word, duch. This is the place, sustus of the flesh. It's lying on the flesh. That's meant to be for mezuzahs. And on which side are you meant to write that? On the part facing up. So again, the smooth part. Now, surprisingly, Rav Meir would write first of all, you write on the chsostus, okay, properly. Rav Meir writes on the chsostus, kim in daf, you'd write like a, you know, like a column, okay, like a narrow column. And the next part, okay, v'oisei revach malamal revach lamata. Secondly, you would have a margin. You would leave some sort of margin, not as substantial as the Sefer Torah, which is big and heavy, needs to be handled with a lot. Just a small margin on top and bottom for practical reasons, as we're going to see soon. V'oisei person says tumois. And, this is the clincher. The parshas in the mezuzah would be psuchos. V'oisei person says psuchos. He would sort of separate the parshas in the mezuzah, although they're together in one package. So you think it's like sort of meant to be one continuum? No. Amarti lois, I turned to Rabbi, Rebbe, Ma Tam, why do you do it this way? Amarti says, look, that's the way it's in the original. Hoyel vein smuchos min haTorah, because you look back in the Torah, the way the parshas come from, where they're imported from, they're separate, they're far apart. So I import them in their original format. So that's what Shimon Elazar quoted with Rav Meir. V'omar Rav Chanan al Omar Rav. So Rav teaches us that we adopt this opinion. Halacha of Shimon Elazar. So you think he's referring to the fact that it was Pesuchos. And now we have a story of Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav. His mezuzah was Stumais, different. No, my love, Pesuchos. We're assuming that Rav's adoption of Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion is going on the Pesuchos question of the, you know, the format question, which is inconsistent with Rav Huna's mezuzah. Lo ya revach. No, he wasn't talking about the format. He was talking about the margins on top and on bottom. That's what he was adopting. He wasn't speaking about the formatting. Become a revach. Okay, speaking about the margins. How much margin? Are you meant to leave on top and on bottom? Amarav. Menashe bar Yaakov. Va'amrilo. Some say Amarav. Shmo bar Yaakov. Kumle atva de safri. You meant to leave enough space for the atva de sifri. So atva de sifri is this, like a paperweight, which sits over the margin. It's like a long reed, which is slit running through the middle, which is slipped onto the edge of the paper, which holds it down. So you need enough space for that to accommodate that that tool. Okay, Amar Leah Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye asked Rav Yosef, "V'at le'tisbara." So you're not going to agree the chi Amar Rav Revach that in fact when Rav concurred with this whole halacha of Rav Shimon Lazar or Meir, he was specifically referring to the margin, you know, requirements, and not to the format, the fact that it was psuchos. Would you not agree to that? It can't be otherwise. Why? Right? It can't be that Rav was agreeing with the psuchos aspect, because look around. The common practice, the common custom is to do stumos, and Rav always goes with the common minhag, with the common practice. But Rav Isli Minhaga, Rav attributes great value to the minhag. Whatever, you know, Klal Yisrael has been doing is assumed to be the right, the correct way. Look around. What's everyone doing? Stumos. Where do we find that Rav would value the minhag? Amar Rav. This is a totally different halacha regarding chalitza. So a woman whose husband passed away without kids. So the surviving brother, if he foregoes yivo marriage, he'll do the chalitza, she'll remove his shoe. Now, what are you meant to do? A shoe or a sandal? Big difference. A shoe is like a soft leather. In those days, like a soft leather which wraps the foot. There's a concern about part of it, you know, being missing, and that's an issue. The better way would be to do a sandal, which is sort of a hard material. It's a hard sole with straps. So which one do you do? Damar Rav. Amar Rav Kahana. Amar Rav. Here's Rav once again speaking. And he says, look, you follow the common practice. Even if Elio Novi comes along and tells us to change the practice, Elio Novi tells us, first he says, okay, you can do the shoe. Shemuel, we'll accept it, that's okay. Even though, you know, we're not accustomed to do it, but to doing it so, but if he tells us, but if he says, we have to change our practice, in Cholzen Besandel, we have to stop using the sandal, in Shemuel, we're not going to listen to him. Why Shekvar no go on Besandel? That's all, everyone's been doing it. The minute, the common practice, is what carries the day. Rav Yosef Rav Kana or Rav had a different version, a slightly different version, but pretty much the point is the same. If Yovel comes and tells us, Ein Chotzim Minol, you have to stop using the Minol, which we've been using, Shemir Loi will accept it, fine. But Ein Chotzim Besandol, if he says, stop the sandal, no, Ein Shemir Loi. We can't listen to him. Shekvar no, go on Besandol, because the common practice is a sandal. Apparently Minol wasn't really widespread, so if he says, don't do it, fine, but sandal, that's been practiced for hundreds of years. But I mean, and the question was posed, might be now, in difference between the two versions, it's a slight difference. Min al-chatchila, it could be now. The difference is whether al-chatchila we prefer, whether using a minal is al-chatchila, if it's, you know, acceptable al-chatchila. So according to the first version, it seems like it wasn't really something you would do. If you tell us to do it, then it's acceptable, we'll do it. Apparently, until that point, we didn't really prefer that. According to the second version, it's Ein Chotzim, if he tells us to stop using the minhag, apparently it was something that was considered acceptable. Okay? In any case, that's regarding the minhag. But regarding the sandal, clearly we see that if he tells us to stop using the sandal, which everybody's been using, we don't listen to him. So Rav attributes great value and weight, halachic weight, to the minhag. So if everybody has been doing the mezuzah as stumos, as contiguous, it's unlikely that Rav would adopt the opposing view of doing it psuchos. So apparently when Rav concurred with Rav Shimon Lazar's version of her Meir story, it was only with respect to the revach, the margin issue, not with respect to the other question of stumos and psuchos. Allah shmami, no. This, in fact, supports our point that a revach, that he was only going on the revach point, on the margin, shmamino. Rav Nachman, he says, look, let me solve this whole issue. Rav Huna says, do it stumois, and Rameir speaks about psuchais, and the minhag is to do stum. Which way do we go? He says, look. And Rav, you know, seemed to adopt the Rav Meir that you do it psuchais, and you know, it's inconsistent with the minhag. So how do you work this out? So he says, look, there are two ways to do it. One is preferred. Mitzvah l'asayisim stumois. L'chatchil you should do it stumois as one continuous, you know, package. And that's how Rav Huna did it. And that's how the minhag ha'mokim is, right? The minhag Yisrael. V'yabdinu psucha shapri dami. But if you do it psuchais, which pretty much is reflective of the way it's in the Sefer Torah because they're separate, then it also works. And that's all that Shmuel Elazar was saying in the name of Rav Meir. You don't have to do it stumois. You don't have to do it psuchais, but if you do it, it works. Well, my psuchais, come Shmuel Elazar, when he says psuchais, he means ah, psuchais. You could also do psuchais, and that's what Rav was adopting. So in practice, you meant to do it stumois, as the minhag is, but all he was saying was, look, it works if it's psuchais as well. Says the more lema masiele. Perhaps we can prove this point from a brisa. That in fact, there is a mitzvah to do the mezuzah stumais, but psuchais also passes, but preferably it's stumais. What's the brisa? Surprise, it speaks about downgrading items of Kedusha. For instance, he's not meant to change the Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Tefillin Shel Yad, because Shel Rosh has higher Kedusha. Okay, so in similar fashion, you have a Sefer Torah that is worn out. You want to salvage some of the material and use, cut out some of the parshias and use it as a mezuzah, as a tefillin. Can you do that? No, okay, it's a Sefer Torah, Shabbat, a Sefer that wore out. Or Tefillin Shabbat, a Tefillin that wore out. You can't downgrade it to mezuzah because that's a lower level Kedusha. You can't downgrade from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. So that's the only concern, levels of Kedusha. But apparently otherwise, in terms of formatting, or they're comparable and compatible. You could, theoretically, you could transfer from one to the other. The question is how? But suppose you could, you're allowed to downgrade. That, let's say that's not the issue. In terms of formatting, oisin, you would be able to transfer one to the other, really? Amai, how does that work? Hachas tumais v'hach psuchais. If mezuzah is meant to be psuchais, and back in the Sefer Torah, these parashas written as tumais, how could you make a transfer? If, in fact, mezuzah needs to be psuchais. Says Mo'adimu l'hashlam. Maybe you're right. We're not actually transferring the entire parasha. That wouldn't work. Talking about just filling in a line, a missing line. You have a mezuzah which is missing a line, so you cut out a line from the Sefer Torah and bring it over. So that wouldn't be run you into the issue of psuchas and stumas, just one line. Okay. Next question is, Hama Ridin Oisin. Again, if the issue would not be downgrading the Kedusha, otherwise, in terms of technicalities, in terms of the technical side of things, you'd be able to downgrade, you'd have to actually transfer from filling to a mezuzah. But what about the different types of parchments? The tefillin is meant to be on the cloth, as we explained, and the mezuzah on the dechsostas. Different types of material. Tani, we learned the brisa. Halacha mesh misinai. This was given as an absolute halacha. That tefillin is on the cloth. It's meant to be on the upper layer of that skin. Mezuzah is meant to be on the lower layer of the dechsostas. Okay, so again, we have this thick hide. You splice it into two. Top part is called a cloth. On which you write tefillin. On which side of it? On the inner side, the side that's facing down. Cloth mukim basa, it's called the mukim basa, facing the flesh. And the mezuzah is meant to be on the bottom part of sustus, but on which side? Facing the hair on top, right? Facing up, the sustus mukim seir. Okay, so again, filling all the cloth, mezuzah on the sustus, on which side are the parchments? Cloth is mukim basa, facing down. The sustus, the mezuzah is meant to be on the sustus, on the side facing up, mukim seir. Different materials, different parchments. How could you switch the mitzvah? You're right, this is a mitzvah, but if you switch it, it's okay. By Tanya, we have a brisa which says they're absolute. Shina puzzle, if you switch anything, it's possible. But tefillin, if you switch the tefillin and do it on the wrong, then it's possible. But regarding the mezuzah, technically, you can use the cloth that was used for the tefillin. By Tanya, we have a brisa which says you can't switch either one. Shina bein mezuzah, bein mezuzah puzzle. Either switched is possible. As the more, either we do with tefillin, when the brisa says either way, the switch is possible, that's by tefillin. So if you switch the tefillin, in all different ways, then it's possible. But the mezuzah can technically be written on klaf as well. What are the two ways that you can theoretically switch around the tefillin, which are both possible? The first deviation would be that he wrote the tefillin on the klaf, which is the right material, but makom seir on the side facing out, facing the hair. That's a problem. A second deviation would be that he wrote the tefillin on the sisters, whether he wrote it on the sisters facing up, facing out, facing the hairy side, which is certainly a problem because that's even the wrong direction. And even if he wrote Mokim Basar on the side of the sisters facing down the flesh, which technically is the right direction, but since it's on the wrong, in the right direction for the tefillin, but since it's on the wrong material, it's possible. But again, regarding mezuzah, we have leeway. And you can use the parsha of the tefillin which was written on the cloth for the mezuzah. By same another way to learn the Gemara, shinu b'zeh b'zetanoi, that although the brisa does indicate that any sort of deviation, whether it's tefillin or mezuzah, would be a problem, but it's machlekes tanoim. This brisa holds that it's a problem. We have another brisa which says it's okay. So according to that brisa, technically you can make a switch, but not for the fact that you're downgrading, you know, the kedusha tanoi. The sani of a brisa shina b'zeh is a possible. Any deviation is possible. Acha machshu, he said it's okay. Mishum Rabbi Achai Bar Chanina. I'm going to say mishum in the name of Rabbi Akiva Chanina. Fine. Next question. Don't downgrade. But let's say downgrading would not be an issue. Homer written, oisni, you could downgrade, you can switch from, you know, tefillin to mezuzah, vice versa. Vabai sirtut. But we know that mezuzah needs to have sirtut. Sirtut is like sort of a scraped, like an indentation on which you write the letter. So it's meant to be sort of like an underline to keep the letter straight and in, you know, in form. And that's halacha b'Shmei Sinai, that the mezuzah needs the sirtut, which the tefillin doesn't need. So how could you take tefillin parshiyos and use it for mezuzah? It doesn't have sirtut. But by sirtut, Domar Rav Menyumi, Barchik, Amar Chamar Guyamar Rav, call mezuzah, Shein Mishtat, is psulim. A mezuzah without sirtut is possible. Rav Menyamin, Barchik Yedidei himself, said Amar, sirtut shot mezuzah is non-negotiable. Salach HaMashim is Sinai. Says the more Tanoi, once again, Samach Lekas Tanoim, whether in fact this is critical. The Sani will enter a brayser, Yerem Mishim Rabbeinu. He quotes Rabbeinu, Tefillin and mezuzahs, Nechtav Yisraelim and Aksa. First of all, a sefer can write Tefillin and mezuzahs from memory, even if he's not actually dictating from a text, because it's something, like we're going to see in a minute, something which people know by heart. Ve'en tzricha sirtut, and both do not need sirtut. So according to this, in fact, Tefillin and mezuzah are interchangeable because they both don't need sirtut. But the conclusion is, Tefillin loy sirtut, there's no din of sirtut by Tefillin, but mezuzah, yeah, boy sirtut, needs sirtut. Ve'id ve'idim, both are nechtav shlem and aksav, can be written from memory, even if you're not dictating from a written text, by time of why. Why do we allow it in these cases? Because gruesome, because these things are, you know, commonly studied and people know them by heart. People are familiar with these parshiyos. There's no concern of, you know, skipping words and letters, so you can do it, you know, from memory. But although halachically it's allowed, the mefarshim bring the alachat chili meant to do it from the ksav like any other, you know, kasev Torah. Omar of Chelboy, he says a story. I once noticed Rav Huna, Rav Yosef of Puri, was about to sit down on a bed, the Sefer Torah Menuchalea, which had a Sefer Torah on it. He didn't want to sit on the same level as Sefer Torah, so what did he do? He removed the Sefer Torah and put it on the, perched it on a platform with Kafl Kada Aro. He took this Kada, this pitcher, overturned it, put it on the ground, on which he placed the Sefer Torah, Varach Le Sefer Torah, V'hadar, and after which Yosef Amiti sat down on the bed, because he held, you can't sit on the same surface, also leishav al gamamit on the same bed, she said, which is a sefer Torah. Upligad the Rav Rachana, and this is in the street of Rav Rachana, who says it's okay. Dam Rachana Rabbi Yechonah, muta leishav al gamamita, she said, sefer Torah munachale, you can place, you can sit on the same bed as a sefer Torah. Vimlach shech adam leiman, if a person will whisper into your ear, opposing this halacha with a story, masa, in fact it was a story of Elazar, Shreisha Almita was sitting down on a bed, Viniska, and he recalled, she said, Ter Munachal, there was a Ter on it, and he got all agitated, he jumped up, Vinishmat, he quickly jumped away, Viyashal Gavakak, and he sat himself on the floor, Vidoimak Mishikisha Nachal, it looked like he was bitten by a snake, he was so agitated. So clearly, one is not allowed to sit on the same surface as the Sefer Torah. So he says, no, that's not a proof to this, because Hasam Sefer Torah got a karkava. What happened was, Sefer Torah was not actually on the floor. Or as some say, it was very close to the floor. That's what got him all agitated. But otherwise, simply sitting on the same level wouldn't have been an issue. And therefore, it's not a kasha on the halacha mentioned before, which doesn't allow it. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmal Kosvei Geres Psulah. One writes a mezuzah haphazardly, missing some letters, like you would write a letter. That's not acceptable. It has to be written meticulously with all the letters in place. My time, Asuk Ksiva Ksiva Misaver, because it says Uchsavtam by the mezuzah. Right. We have Loshen Ksiva by the get, because of the Sefer Krisis. We have it by the Sefer Torah, Ksiva to come a Sefer. So we find that Kosav is synonymous with Sefer, properly written, you know, a formally written, properly edited document. And likewise, mezuzah has to be properly written with all the letters. Okay, Vomer Vidam Shmuel, what about positioning of the mezuzah? Where is it meant to be? Talav Makal Psul, if you inserted the mezuzah into sort of a tube and hung it on the doorway, that's no good. It has to be on the actual doorway itself. My time will be Sharecha. But it has to be on the actual doorway. Rather than in this case, which is hanging on the doorway. Tana Mechel, you find the same in the Brisa. Talav Makal. So you hung the mezuzah in sort of a tube. Oshenicha Charatel, so you put it behind the door. Not on the actual post, but behind, like sort of on the outside. So the mezuzah is meant to protect the household from mazikim, from, you know, evil spirits. Sakana, if you do it in this way, you haven't really fulfilled your obligation, so you're actually endangering the home because it's not protecting it. Veiba mitzvah, you haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah. But shal beis munbas hamelach, the household, the entourage of munbas hamelach, when they were traveling, and they would sort of stay overnight in a hotel, since it was a less than 30-day stopover, they didn't really need mezuzahs, but they would take along mezuzahs in any case. So yoizim b'dekoyis kein, and they're sleepover places, they would do this type of style. They would hang the mezuzahs in this tube. Although it wasn't really a fulfillment of the mitzvah, it was zeichel of mezuzahs, so to keep them mindful of mezuzah and connected to the ideals and concepts embedded in the mezuzah, Avos Hashem, Yichud Hashem, although technically it wasn't really a fulfillment of the mitzvah because it wasn't really affixed to the doorpost. Okay, one more piece regarding positioning of the mezuzah. Okay, so it's a mitzvah to place the mezuzah inside the actual doorway. Pshita, of course. Bisharecham Rachon, the Torah says, put in the doorways. Well, perhaps I would think, since Rava tells us that the mezuzah is meant to be as close as possible to the outside to give you maximum protection on your home. Mitzvah anicha b'tefach ha-samoch l'rshutzarab. It's meant to be within the first tefach of the street. So, you know, in the doorpost, but as close as possible to the street. So I would think perhaps putting it even outside, right outside, would be even better. Kama de marchik mali, the further you put it, the better. Kamashal, the point is, no. Yeah, as far as possible, provided it's within the doorway itself. Okay, let's summarize the last two daf. We spoke about the aloha of the meistering, the potter on the potter, story of Shimon Shazuri. We spoke about repairing a small tear in a Sefer Torah, the columns of the mezuzah, where to put the words Allah Oret on this side or that side, whether the mezuzah is meant to be parshiyus tumois or psuchois, discuss the different types of parchments which are meant to be for the tefillin and for the mezuzah, discussed removing the Sefer Torah from the bed, and we discussed affixing the mezuzah on the actual doorpost and within the doorway itself. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.